Hey, what's up? My name is Christian Jansen. This is The Most High Show, and with me today is my man Danny Rich from 365 Sober Living and Beyond. And today we're in a very special location for a very special reason. We're at the cemetery next to Mount Pisgah United Methodist Church here in Johns Creek. And I was telling Danny that the legend is that the church early on started in this area around a tree, that this group of lady missionaries would minister to the local Indians that lived here, because all Atlanta used to be Indian territory before we came along, white people came along. And so they used to minister to them and at a tree, and that was the initial start of Mount Pisgah Church. So the ground that we're sitting on is special. Yeah, a lot of life, and there's a reason today we're talking about step four and step five of the 12 steps, right?
That's right.
Step four is made a
search and fill us more inventory of ourselves.
Mm-hmm. And then we're doing both of these together because you don't do these at the same time, but they go really close hand in hand. And step five is admitted to ourselves, to God, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. And so kind of a long intro, but I wanted to set up, I know Danny's story, and I know that Danny has a powerful message when it comes to this step four and step five. As most of us do, we do it wrong, and thank God we live through it to help others. So I kind of teed it up for you. So if you just want to talk to me a little bit about your first experience with this step four and step five and what that was like for you.
Absolutely. How you doing, everybody out there? Hopefully I can give you some kind of a powerful message that would encourage you to start working the recovery process in order to get clean and sober and have a fabulous life like I'm doing today. I picked this area. I said, Christian, I think we should do the fourth and fifth step at the cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the fourth and fifth step is like my best in my – I love the fourth and fifth step because it saved my life. And as I'm sitting here in the cemetery, if I didn't do that, I would be in one of these places in here in the cemetery, whether it was anywhere in this world.
Yeah.
Actually, speaking on that, my mother and father had purchased a mausoleum, and I have my name on the mausoleum with my name, my date of birth, with no end date.
Mm-hmm.
Because
wow.
They thought that they were going to bury me first.
Oh, man.
Before them going.
Wow.
So they wanted to make sure that I was safe,
Wow.
And I tell you, the fourth step, of all the times and all the years that when it always came to that fourth and fifth step, I ran.
Yeah.
Back on another mission.
Mm-hmm.
Back at it. Another rehab, another detox, another sober living, in the hospital, OD, prison. And I'm saying to myself, today I say to myself, if I only would have done the fourth and fifth step, maybe I wouldn't have been in prison, maybe I wouldn't have OD'd. Maybe I wouldn't be in the hospital.
Yeah.
And maybe I wouldn't have put my family through the suffering that I did.
Mm.
And of course, me suffering. My experiences with the fourth and fifth step is that every time I got to that point where, I couldn't have it, the courage to tell somebody else of my wrongdoings.
Mm-hmm.
I had 36 years of using, and, we got a lot of things that were not happy about and we don't feel good about.
Yeah.
So in between those increments of going in and out of places, and the more it built up, and then I would get a sponsor, go to meetings, 90 and 90, everything was good. Then when it came back to that fourth and fifth step, right back out again. Because I just didn't want anybody to know who Danny was.
Wow.
And it just kept getting worse and worse and worse. Many times through my times out there where I'd be in the street doing my thing and the train will be coming by, and they'll be parked, you know, cars, you know, waiting for that gate to go up as the train had passed them. And I would look at everybody, and I would start inching towards underneath the gate and stand as close as I could to that train, but just didn't do it.
Yeah.
You know, I was the kind of person that, you know, I felt like it had to be done to me, you know, of all the guilt and shame that I caused other people, including myself.
Right.
That I felt it was better off if somebody else did it to me rather than do it to myself.
Right. Wow.
So it got to a point where, you know, about their suffering, that I got to that point where I was just completely done. But it took a lot of years.
Yeah, I mean, you said to me that if you, there was one case where if you would have done the fourth and fifth step, that you wouldn't have had to spend some time in prison.
Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about what happened in that time and then what happened after?
Well, I mean, during the times of going to prison, you know, it was horrifying. It was horrifying. But the thing about it was that being in and out of jails and everything, it was almost like being the high school graduating to college.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah,
it
yeah.
It was a learned behavior.
Yeah.
That I already knew it was going to happen. I already knew what it was expected.
Yeah.
So it was like kind of like being like, it was no big deal.
It's like a convict culture, right?
It was, yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. We've interviewed some people who, one guy spent 42 years in prison, 10 years in solitary confinement. And he said when he first went to prison at age 18, he wanted to be the best convict, and not in the way that the guards would like him. You know what I mean? Like, he saw that convict culture and wanted to dive right into it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So the first couple times you go to do the fourth and fifth step and you're just not able to be entirely honest. You're just, what you said is that you didn't want people to see the real you.
Secrets are sick. As long as you keep secrets, you're going to be sick.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's funny. You know, I laugh about it today, and I tell a lot of my, you know, sponsees, and I tell some fellas, and I talk about the fourth and fifth step, how at one point of time, I actually paid my roommate to do my fourth step, you know, to write it all out for me, you know? Because I avoided. I didn't want to hear nothing. I didn't want to see nothing.
Yeah.
I didn't want to rehash my past.
like this was homework for school.
Yeah, exactly. You know. But it got to a point, man. You know, my roommates in places like that, you know, they were like, you know, they were sick of my, you know, stuff.
Yeah.
You know, this guy is like, you know, he's a lost cause. So they played a trick on me. You know, I paid $50 for my four step.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got it back, I didn't even bother looking at it. And when I got to my sponsor's house, and he says, okay, you ready? You ready to get honest? And I said, yeah. And, you know, we started going over the questions and the columns and stuff like that, you know. And I started reading these things, and it was
you
like.
You ain't read none of this yet.
I didn't read none of this. And I'm just like, just reading what the other guy had written, and he wrote some crazy stuff.
Oh, man.
You know, it was embarrassing stuff, you know. So. But the embarrassment of me feeling like I was like, okay, well, I just can't even get honest with anybody else.
Yeah.
And the embarrassment that how far I went.
Right.
To not do the right thing and then be embarrassed after that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I went on another run right after that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So today it's like, you know, I asked God, one of the couple of things that I asked God before, you know, when I got sober is that, God, please remove the taste.
Mm-hmm.
From me.
Yeah.
You know, and keep me honest every day I wake up. Because this disease does not want you to be honest, man.
No.
It's okay to be honest with other people, but the honest part is in right here.
Yeah. Yeah. It was interesting you bring up honesty because it's, and I know you in working with people who are early, days into recovery, the honesty doesn't come naturally. And do you feel like it needs, like, if it doesn't come until the fourth step, you know, because what I'm saying is, like, some people, it's different to be lying to everybody and, you know, getting away with stuff, but there's this self-denial, this self-deluded thinking that we can be, that we don't even see our own behaviors.
It becomes such a natural.
Right.
And I'm sure you guys can relate to you out there, because what I'm about to say, you probably already did it and done it. Mm-hmm. So, You're at McDonald's, right?
Okay.
And you get a phone call.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, where you at? I'm at Burger King when you're holding the McDonald's cup. I mean, that's how it becomes natural.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because there's no, nobody sees anything good in being honest. There's no good result.
Yeah.
You know? You're not going to get paid from being honest. Because it becomes a hustle game.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's no good results out of being honest.
Right.
Because we always lived on the survival of lying, cheating, and stealing.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Because we're today, early in recovery, people do, we don't like patience, tolerance.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes, we love the instant gratification.
Yeah.
So if it's not there right then and there, we don't get the answer we're looking for.
Yeah.
We go right around it to get the best answer we think that's fit for us.
Right, right.
And that's the dishonesty part about it.
Yeah.
You know, those are the old behaviors that we rely on, which we talk about, those character defects that we survive on.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, we start to think that these character defects are us, that we are these behaviors, this thinking, and to get away from that and start realizing that, okay, I do these things, I think these thoughts, but I am not these things.
Exactly.
I can decide whether or not to act on this emotion. I can decide whether or not to lie or be honest in this situation. You get to that point. I mean, you have to do the work, but I do think once that you've done enough extensive work, and I think there's still blind spots. Like for me, you know, I still have a lot of fellowships, close relationships, people like you, people in my life who I can hit up. And, you know, sometimes people call me and they go, am I crazy? Am I the asshole? And then they tell me the story and I go, yeah, you're the asshole in this one.
Yeah.
Sorry. Okay, I just had to make sure.
Yeah.
And so we need to continually live out these things. But tell me the story around when you finally got that fourth and fifth step, because I'm sure that was that sponsor had to be someone that you trusted, and that situation had to be a place where you had no other choice.
Well, for me, it wasn't even about trusting somebody.
Really?
I just needed to get it out.
Wow.
I didn't care who it was.
Yeah.
I just needed to be freed within here.
Wow.
I didn't care, because it got to that point where there's so much of guilt and shame and constant, you know, racing in my mind.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
And it would just keep me on the continuous runs, you know?
I know that feeling.
But don't get me wrong. There was a lot of anxiety, a lot of fear of sitting down with another person and exactly telling them exactly everything about me.
So let's explain this for somebody who doesn't know the actual process. So the process is you literally sit down with a pen and a piece of paper.
Yeah.
And you write on a piece of paper the exact everything you've done to somebody, all the foul stuff, all the lying, all the cheating. But do you also include the stuff that has been done to you?
Everything.
Okay. Everything. Every significant hurt, event.
Everything.
Everything.
For me, I was still paranoid.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually didn't write on a piece of paper and a pen.
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
What I did was that my sponsor understood where I was coming from.
Uh-huh.
And he was just like me.
Yeah.
And I was blessed for him to be in my life today. He actually went over some questions that are basically in the structure that needed to be done.
Uh-huh.
And I just was coming out. It was just coming out.
Wow. Yeah.
You know? Certain things that I would never even talk about in my life.
Wow.
That I would take to my grave. You know?
So
as I'm sitting here right now and I'm looking around these tombstones and I'm saying to myself, well, some of these people were probably actually addicts and alcoholics.
Yeah.
And they never got the message.
Yeah.
You know? They didn't have that the freedom.
Right.
You know, whether they had church or talking to a god or a minister or a priest or whatever like that.
Right.
But as I look around these tombstones, you know, I'm very blessed that I'm actually not below ground. I'm above ground.
Right.
But while I was out there in my active addiction, I was a dead man walking.
Yeah.
You know, spiritually, mentally, and physically.
Yeah.
Bankrupt.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. A zombie for sure, right?
You know.
Yeah.
But how I got to the fourth and fifth step when I was entirely just ready just to just get it all out and be done with it was the last time that I was down at a place where I'd actually got the train schedule, you know, and did my things, got my little candy, so to speak, you know, and went down the railroad tracks.
Yeah.
And I was waiting for the train to come.
Okay.
Because I figured, okay, this is the day.
Yeah.
You know, I was at the point where I didn't believe in God. I didn't like God. I hated God. Anybody that was speaking about God, I had a bad taste and a bad feeling because I felt like I was worthless. I didn't deserve a good life. I didn't even deserve to be in God's eyes. So let's just get it over with.
Mm-hmm.
And this is there multiple times that I have done this, but this was the last time. And so I'm going down the railroad tracks, and I'm waiting for this train to come just to end it. Let's get it over with. My family will be better off without me.
Yeah.
They wouldn't worry about the phone calls, the, you know, the jail, the hospitals, none of it. So I'm waiting. And as I'm plotting in my mind, you know, waiting for this train, I'm like, the train never came.
Whoa.
The train never came, Christian.
Hmm.
I got up and I said, man, I can't even kill myself.
Wow.
Are you serious?
Wow.
So I get up back up to the platform up there, about a half a mile up the road here, and I see all these buses coming. And I'm like, what's going on? I said, yo, what's going on? Because now at that point, I forgot about doing myself in. Now I want to go get my groove on.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's time
to
go do it back all over again.
Right.
So one of the guys said, well, somebody got hit by a train. I said, what? He said, yeah. There was a homeless person on the railroad tracks.
Oh, wow.
That the train hit him.
That's why I never got to you.
And that's why I never got to me.
Ooh.
So that's when it clicked. That God felt suit to take that guy because he needed to come home.
Right.
So to speak.
Yeah, yeah.
And I wasn't ready to go.
Wow.
Because I had a message.
Yeah.
To give to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
That no matter what, you just don't never give up.
Wow.
You just keep trying and trying and trying.
Yeah.
You know, there's always a reason why.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And the way I look at it is the God above kept me alive just to be suffering for me to understand why.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I had to go through all the things I had to go through to get where I'm at today.
Wow.
That's why the fourth and fifth step is like my best steps in my life.
Yeah.
You know, because it saved my life.
Yeah.
You know? It was 47, 5 years ago, over 5 years ago.
Wow.
So, you know, it's a blessing. You
yeah.
know? And through the times of being, you know, like I am today in my life, so many things have came from me being honest and doing my fourth and fifth step. I was 14.
Yeah. That's why I said 36 years.
So I started early age.
Yeah.
But I was also involved with things in my early age.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was at a place in Mississippi, and, you know, I was a troubled kid. And this place was a lot of physical abuse, you know, a lot of sexual abuse. But it was a born-again Christian community.
Oh.
But what they did was, it was the way they were doing it, you know? And the people that ran it, I mean, actually today, the place got closed down, and like there was like 62 people that got rushed out of there by the sheriff's office because of all the stuff that was going on.
Wow.
So I kept this at an early age.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
All the guilt, remorse, the anger.
Yeah.
You know?
Shame.
The shame.
Yeah.
You know, I felt different you know, from everybody else. I
yeah.
always had to prove myself better.
Right.
You know, I couldn't be me.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You know, today I could be myself. And
yeah.
I know where it's coming from. It's become because I did the fourth and fifth step thorough.
Yeah, I had a friend of mine tell me the other day, he said that it gets we grow weary trying to keep up with all the lies. Because you start with a little lie.
It's exhausting.
And then you got to put a lie on top of that lie, and then lie on this, that, and now you got a web of lies that you got to, like, keep. And then you got to remember, what did I say? Where did I tell her I was at that day? Oh, wait, yeah. And so, yeah, when you clear that out, you don't have to lie anymore, and you can be honest.
That's right.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's why I'm here today.
Yeah.
You know? This is who I am.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is who I am. This is Danny Rich.
Yeah.
This is what you get, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Because I'm the one that's outliving myself today.
Yeah.
You know, I don't worry about what other people think anymore.
Yeah.
You know, it's not about saving my face, it's about saving my ass, you know?
Right. Yeah.
And if I can bring a message to somebody out there that's suffering, that I can help them in order to save their life.
Yeah.
But it's about action. It's all about action. You know, none of this comes through osmosis, man.
Right.
You got to do the work.
Yeah.
You know, but for me, my message to people out there is no matter what, just keep trying. Don't never give up.
Yeah.
Because there's always a part in your life where you can be freed from it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Leslie, how long are we at? Okay. Well, good. So we got a little more time because I want to dive in a little bit to that process of the fourth and fifth step, and the system that's in place, you know, with the sponsor-sponsee relationship. I've heard it said that, you know, you're not gonna put it this way. Someone gives me a fifth step, and I do the fifth step with them. There's nothing they're gonna say that's gonna surprise me.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, that's the thing that kind of is, you realize, oh my gosh, you know, I'm not the only one who had these terrible things, you know, that happened. And so that relationship is there, and the system, it's like, you know, it works if you work it. You know, if you go through and you trust the process. Right. You didn't even, like you said, you didn't even have to trust who it was. It was like you had to do this, and you were in a place where you had to trust the process.
Yeah. It's life and death for me.
Yeah.
It's life and death.
Yeah. And the reason is, it's because I think, like, if you do hold back some things, which people do. Right. I know for me, my first year, I felt like I was being completely honest, but I'm going to tell you what, in my sixth year, my fifth and sixth year, things have come up where I went, oh, I'm realizing this, but I didn't know that. You know what I mean? Like, it took that long for my conscious to kind of, like, release certain memories or certain, like, illuminate certain behaviors that I had and go, oh, wait, this is because of this.
Yeah.
You know? So that first one is important. But did you go and have you done it multiple times or
multiple times? So me and my sponsor have a relationship where it's like, you know, we're like blood brothers, you know. But when I did my fourth and fifth step, I did it with another sponsor in another state.
Yeah.
And when I came here to Georgia, we got together and we went through the same process.
Yeah.
And but still to today, you know, with years clean. I still do the mini fourth and fifth steps.
Yeah.
Because the longer that I stay clean,
right,
more stuff comes up and more things that I remember.
Yeah.
And I'm the kind of person where I just got to get off me. I got to get it off.
Yes.
Me.
Yeah.
You know, because if I sit there and dwell on it.
Yeah.
You know, the justification and the lie.
Yes.
That we tell ourselves, because at that particular moment, we're feeling depressed and anxious and guilty about the situation that happened.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, that night you might go out with some friends and have the greatest time of your life. You forget what you just felt before.
Right.
So then it gets stuffed.
Yeah.
Then you forget about it.
Yeah. But it's secretly kind of pulling strings.
It's still there.
Yeah.
And it's still building up and building up and building up.
Yes.
And eventually one particular situation just go blow.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. I mean, for me, I think what I've recently learned is to catch the thought very early. And I think before, what I would do, there's a biblical principle about this. It says, confess your sins to one another so that you may be forgiven. And I think this is the active practice of it. It's like when that thought comes up, I may feel like a bitch complaining about it, calling a buddy and saying, hey, this is, my feelings are hurt. But what I've noticed is, man, the more I do that and the quicker I do that with that thought or emotion, the less power it has, the less damage it does.
That's right.
Because if I don't do that, let's say I have a bad morning and I just hold on to it. Well, chances are my rest of my day is going to be blown.
Yeah.
But if I can release that as quickly as possible, then even if it is my feelings are hurt, right? Like who wants to call someone and tell them your feelings are hurt, right?
You know, I tell my guys, I said, you know, feelings, you're not going to die from your feelings.
Right.
It's what you're going to do later on with your feelings that might, right, you might die.
Yes.
You know, that's why it's so important, you know, is to get it off of you.
Yeah.
You know, relieve yourself of that fire.
Right.
You know, because if you don't let somebody know, you don't know what's going to happen.
No.
You know?
Yeah, and that's the trick. That's the cutting and baffling. That's the thing where it's like you don't realize how that stuff can just, it seeps in. It's like smoke, right? You could have armor on and everything, but smoke will get in. It'll find that whatever crack it is, it'll get in there. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so that's what it's like. And
that was the biggest thing. It was like, okay, well, you know, I was going to all these places, and they're like, you got to tell somebody how you feel. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
Right.
So the way I was brought up, and because, you know, being out there and living that particular lifestyle, can you imagine going up to your dealer and say, hey, I feel lonely today.
Right.
You know? Are you kidding me? You know what they tell you? Go get a job.
Right.
You know? Right. But that's the reason why the network is so important, because the people in AA and NA and other, you know, other places, they already know and they accept you for who you are.
Yeah.
And they already can relate to the feelings.
Yeah.
That's why it's so important to be involved with these meetings.
Yeah.
You know, get a sponsor, get a home group, get a network.
Yeah.
You know, call people on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Let people know exactly what's going on with you.
Yeah.
You know?
You got the two fingers. 2 minutes? Oh, okay. Thought you were throwing up the peace sign. We out here. Yes, and stay in that community, and keep it open, and keep it honest, and you know, for me, the thing that I always come back to is, you know, I think that in its best form, religion can do this, right? In its best, but it doesn't seem to do it. It can do it. But it's not until you get into this 12-step community in whatever mode it is, right, that you really see these things being acted out, this community, this tribe, right? It's this tribe that you belong to and that you can't get kicked out of.
Well, I call AA and NA and other places that it's just like being in the mafia.
Yeah.
Once you're in, you can't get out.
Yeah, right.
You might be out.
Yeah.
But eventually you come back in.
Right.
Unless you don't die.
Right.
And you don't become in one of these graves.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So the final thoughts are, you know, if you're in the early stage, you know, fourth and fifth is coming. You know, just give some advice to somebody who's about to face that and some encouragement to them.
So my encouragement to people out there right now that are struggling and have been in the multiple programs, been to meetings, and when you get to that particular part in your program with your sponsor about doing the fourth and fifth step, just remember, there's nothing that you're going to say that nobody else has experienced or felt or can identify what you're going through. And I'm encouraging you, please, I'm begging you right now, and I don't beg, but I'm begging you on this particular moment in time of talking about this, that if you just go through the motions and just do it, you'll be so much happier, and you'll feel so much relieved of doing it, because you accomplish something, not just for yourself, but towards the future for your life.
Yeah.
Because I'm telling you right now, I would never expect in the point of my life today that I would have my family back, I'd have friends back, actual friends, and that I would never even thought that I would actually meet somebody in my life to spend the rest of my life with. You know, I got married.
Yeah.
I love my wife at all. It's amazing because these are the things that we lose that we don't get to accomplish, these great moments and happiness.
Right.
Because it also has to do with being honest.
Yeah.
You know, get to the point, do your deal, be a man about it, you know. And that was the thing that was crazy, you know.
Yeah.
Here I am out there doing my thing, risking my life to go get my thing to do, you know.
Right.
Not worrying about nothing, being shot, stabbed.
Right.
But then telling somebody.
Right. That scared you.
That scared me.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Get honest, people. Do it. You can do it. I did it. You can do it.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, man, for sharing it, being so honest. And this is the Most High Show. And really appreciate you, Danny. And check out 365 Sober Living in Alpharetta area if you're looking for a place to get sober. Yeah.